It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll hear from a young author about his recent award-winning story.
It took me at least 5 days for the writing, at least 7 days for the illustrations.
We'll hear that story in just a few minutes. But first, we visit the Eastern Panhandle to learn about issues dividing the community there. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Rockwool has become a household name in the Eastern Panhandle, and it sparks a flurry of discussion and debate. This European-based stone wool manufacturing plant is currently under construction in Ranson, Jefferson County. That, despite pushback from residents on the grounds of environmental concerns and the plant's proximity to an elementary school. Jefferson County delegates John Doyle and Sammy Brown, both Democrats, beat the Republican incumbents during the 2018 election, right in the middle of rising contentions around the plant. As we approach 1 year since public outcry began, Liz McCormick sat down with Delegate Brown, whose district includes those directly impacted by Rockwool. In this excerpt from the interview, they discuss the magnitude the plant played in last year's election and explore what the fight for those opposed looks like going forward.
Can you talk with me a little bit more about what it was about your stance that got people on board? And did you get people who were on both sides of the aisle who voted for you?
I had so many one-on-one conversations at doorsteps, kitchen tables, in the grocery store, and it was so much about genuine connectivity that while I know that Rockwool was a huge concern for my community, there were so many other things that I got from those conversations, a lot of concerns, a lot of opportunities, a lot of fears. So when I was having these conversations with folks, this was no longer an issue that was left or right. This was more about a value set. We do have this issue, but for longevity, for sustainability, what are the values that we're after here? And every time, without fail, it was about transparency in government and being able to have faith in your leadership again. It was about being able to uplift your family values. And then last but certainly not least, how in the state of West Virginia am I supposed to have quality of life, Sammy? I heard that over and over again. So now we're having a deep-seated conversation that may have started with one issue. And I know that issue opened a lot of eyes. It changed the movement space in Jefferson County. It also changed the dynamic of conversations that maybe we were at a stalemate before, but now we've got common ground because your value set is now in jeopardy because of this one corporation.
If Rockwool hadn't been part of the conversation, do you think you and Delegate John Doyle would have still secured those seats?
I think it would have been a different type of fight. And I have no doubt that John would have done just fine. He's a staple in that community. My fight would have been a different one, but it would have come with the same work ethic. My work ethic would not have changed because I had to go earn those votes. So the issue and the conversation may have pivoted a little bit, and we may have had a little bit of a different barrier as far as bipartisanship. But I'm committed to finding that common ground. I think the conversation changes, not necessarily the plan.
And speaking of common ground, what do you do as a lawmaker and, you know, to reach your constituents who are pro-Rockwool? What does that look like? How do you meet them as well and continue to be their legislator when they are pro-Rockwool?
Even when we don't agree, I will always meet with you and I will speak with you. And again, I'm steadfast in my values. I will not turn you away. I refuse to do that. I refuse to turn my back on folks because I am a representative, and that representative takes on the whole, whether you agree with me or whether you don't. The idea is public service and that I still serve you. I grew up here. These are people that I know and know well. You aren't just my constituents. You are a huge part of my upbringing. I have a deep belief, faith, and loyalty to you as a result, and I will be there no matter your side.
In some ways, would you say that Rockwell coming here was almost good in terms of bringing people together?
Did Rockwell galvanize the community? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Absolutely. In a way that I have not seen in any other issue short of the labor movement and public employees. But this, in so many ways, brought to light processes in government, legislative process, individuals that I'm not sure would have spoken to one another because we're, by nature, we're siloed in our respective neighborhoods or whatever our social circles are. We have now found common ground.
Just to sort of look to the future, from a legal standpoint, it does appear that Rockwell has done everything legally, as in terms of the permits and the processes that sort of, as they, you know, coming in to set up here in Jefferson County. Of course, there are some pending lawsuits that have been put forward by some of the anti-Rockwell groups. Where do you see this fight going? And do you foresee that the plant can be stopped?
I absolutely think there's a path forward. And I always have. Now, as far as stopping them, it is going to be a long, ugly litigative battle. And in the meantime, my job as a legislator is to attempt to create real, mindful policy that can be implemented that stops something like this in its tracks so it's not unethical and creates a different business culture, period. So it's not just about this one thing. This one thing brought to light so much that needs to be changed and shifted and realigned in order to make sure that the people of West Virginia are actually getting a climate that's pro-consumer, pro-worker, because they are the individuals that sustain that quote-unquote business that we're trying to attract here.
That was Delegate Sammy Brown of Jefferson County speaking with Liz McCormick about Rockwell. You can hear an extended version of this interview on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Rain and thunderstorms today with highs in the 70s and low 80s. Rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies. Still a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 70s and low 80s.
Hi, I'm Mark Yosey. I'm a proud gay man living in West Virginia, and I'm also a supporter of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I love shows like Us and Them, which tries to help people get beyond the things that divide us. Please help to protect and sustain this important programming.
Visit our website, wvpublic.org. Look around for information about your favorite West Virginia Public Broadcasting program and click the donate button to sustain and protect your public broadcasting service. Thank you.
This morning, we start an occasional series where we showcase some of our youth writers. Today, we want to introduce you to a second grader who lives here in West Virginia. Dorsey Cutright won first place among second graders in West Virginia Public Broadcasting's 2019 Writers Contest. Dorsey came into our studios to record his story. We'll let him introduce it.
The name of my story is Adventure of a Lifetime. Ben, Tim, and Mark had been searching for JR for hours. They find JR in a cave, unconscious and very sick. Next to him is his journal. The journal explains what happened to JR, and the only cure was to find the three life stones. Ben, Mark, and Tim had always thought the stones were just a myth. They left JR in a cave in the hospital and boarded a plane to Tanzania. They had read in the journal that a stone was in the secret cave in Mount Kilimanjaro. After days of hiking and nearly getting trampled by elephants, they found the cave, and the lion spirit guarding the stone said, "Give me what I desire most, and you will get what you desire. Solve this riddle, and you shall know. A fluff of my fur, a trim of my claw. The place I desire most is the spa," the boys yelled together. After giving the spirit a spa day, the spirit told them to use his claw clipping to open the secret box and get the stone. In the journal, J.R. believed the second stone was in the Great Barrier Reef, guarded by eels. Ben, Mark, and Tim go to Australia. They rent a boat and scuba gear and set off to get the barrier reef. They see bunches of eels guarding something and tell the boat driver to stop. Ben and Mark dive in. Tim throws mollusks into the water to lure the eels away. Mark sends his underwater drone to get the glowing stone. With two stones in grasp, Ben, Mark, and Tim follow the journal to Bahamas. A hurricane is coming, the journal reveals in glowing ink. This hurricane holds the last stone. Look it in the eye, and you will find the stone. When the winds got calm in the eye, Ben ran out, and the stone floated down into his hand. With all three stones, Ben, Mark, and Tim rush to the hospital. They unite the stones, and a powerful glowing ring comes from the stones. J.R. wakes up and says, "You figured it out."
Tell me how you came up with that story, and why you wanted to write it.
Well, I kind of took different parts of stories and put it into one. So I kind of took the journal from Harry Potter, the one he finds in the second movie, I think. And I took the stones from Infinity War. I took different parts of stories and I tried to put it in one big story. So that's what made me think of it and what made me want to write it.
How long did it take you to write it? I mean, did it take you very long? Or?
Couple days. It took me at least 5 days for the writing, at least 7 days for the illustrations.
Oh, so there's pictures with it, too?
Yeah.
Cool. What do they look like? I mean...
Well, there's different categories. So there's, like, kind of a picture for each. Like, they rush to the hospital. There's, like... a picture of them in a yellow car rushing to the hospital with stones in there. So there's different pictures. Yeah.
Great. Anything else you want to say about it? Or?
It was really fun writing this story.
Great. Awesome. Thanks. You did it.
That was Dorsey Cutright being interviewed by Dave Mistich. Dorsey read his story, Adventure of a Lifetime, which won first place among second graders in West Virginia's Public Broadcasting's 2019 Writers Contest. We'll hear from more winners here on West Virginia Morning. You can also find Dorsey's story complete with illustrations online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.